It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Doo-doo.
Does our cue.
Okay.
I like this whole... nobody's told me how I sound now doing this, but I like holding it here.
Okay.
Like this. So, hello. Hello. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that is entirely made up of the same 52 words, just in different orders, different times, repeated. And weirdly, 7 of them are Batman. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 196.
196. Ever closer to the 200.
Yep, ever closer. About a month away now.
Yeah, at a certain point we'll get further away to a 1, to a 2, but I mean ever closer for now.
For now.
So not ever closer. Closer, temporarily. Then we'll get there, and then further away.
Yep.
And then that'll be our tagline for the rest of the series, will be ever further away from episode 200. For those of you just joining us at 196, way to hop on the bandwagon, we have a hat. It's magical. Has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Once again, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People who need people are the luckiest people in the world. Other people, and sometimes those people, write into the hat with questions, comments, topics, stuff like that. They want to give their input. They want to influence the show and its future course. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies these emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. We, its ersatz servants, I'm certain I'm not using that word right.
I don't even know that word.
I think I could spell it, but I couldn't define it. We, its ecclesiastical servants... draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour, that's the whole show. I also have a cat who mostly chews on the microphones. I have another cat, but he's not really involved in the production of the show.
No.
So that's it.
Yep, that's
welcome. Welcome. Won't you? I'm actually kind of pissed off at this cat right now. She's not eating.
Well, that happens sometimes.
It happens a lot, and lately it's been happening a lot with her. She's getting skinny. I don't like it. She's going to die, and I'm going to be pissed off.
Well.
I threatened tonight to shove food up both her face and her butt if she didn't eat, and she walked away from me while I was lecturing her.
But she always comes around and starts eating.
I told her to go to her room.
So why are you so worried?
Because she does it frequently enough. She's still losing weight. I mean, she's definitely scrawnier than she was. That's not good.
Well, she doesn't seem unhealthy otherwise.
No, she gets real squirrely when she doesn't eat, though. Anyway.
You know, a lot of cats in the wild, they do have a long time.
And in the wild, average lifespan of a cat is 3 years.
I know.
And she's 6.
I know, but it's...
You want our cat to die. Why do you want our cat to die?
Probably not because of how often they eat.
Why do you want...
I don't want your cat.
Actually, I take it back. I totally understand why people would want Ezzy to die. I keep trying to sell her. she's so terrible. Anyway. How was your... I've discovered I really like when we don't have to double up. Because I can stand you for about an hour. And after that, it becomes a chore. So I really like that. And this week, we don't have anything to do more. So that's nice. So... Also, what is this about? Look at this. What is going on? Her head just disappeared. All right. I have a headless cat. Still annoying me. How was your week, William?
It was, you know, it's fine. How was yours?
It was pretty good. Today was good. I had a really good day at work.
Oh.
I feel very empowered today.
Empowered?
Yes. We had very serious talks. Our executive leadership people, who are like the chief something officers and all that, have started these quarterly conversation things where a bunch of us meet them in a room and we talk about stuff.
Mm.
And it's been very cool. And they're getting more interactive and they're getting cooler. And then on top of that, where I actually actively participated in there, then right afterwards, I think I talked about before how I've been studying and learning lean production practices at work. Mm-hmm. I got the first level of certification in that today. Today was our graduation, and so I got my certificate and all that, and I'm very pretty cool. jazzed about that. So I felt very empowered this afternoon. I enjoyed that. I also had a very tasty lunch.
So are they? You sent me a link to an article that mentioned a process whereby one would...
That was a process for creating a cultural change.
Cultural
that was actually...
Change.
Different. That was unrelated to the lean stuff. That has to do with a different project that I am hoping to do at my work that okay. I haven't done yet.
What I was going to ask about that was, does it seem like your executive management is using those processes to sort of get people engaged? Sort of? No?
I'm hesitant to talk too much about it.
Oh, okay.
But, I will say they have not explicitly said that.
I was just asking in your observation if it looked like...
Wait for it.
Okay.
I may have heard certain rumors to that effect. Mm. I also feel like a fair bit of what's described there is not something you necessarily do really overtly and explicitly.
Mm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I do feel that they are... taking educated steps to attempt cultural shifts at my company. And I have a vested interest in that and am putting together a proposal for some people that might help that. And I will talk a little bit about that if and when that happens, because I think it would be germane
okay.
to the podcast. Cool. But not at present, because my boss is listening. She's in on it, too. She also graduated today. That was cool.
She's in on
but
it, too.
She is in on it. She's in on most of my schemes nowadays.
It's a conspiracy.
yeah.
Well, I'm not in on it.
I had a very interesting date night last night.
Okay.
Had a little wine, put on a little soft music. No, kidding. It was the producer's date night.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of just felt like staying in.
Okay.
And so we did. We ordered food delivered or whatever. But we watched... two things, both of them on YouTube.
YouTube, okay.
They were both not originally on YouTube, but they have been placed in their entirety on YouTube.
Okay.
And one was something she had sort of seen before and thought I'd be interested in, and another thing was something she kept telling me about, and I wasn't bothering to check it out, so she forced me because it was date night. The first one, which I would encourage everybody to go find, was an HBO special called, I believe, Talking Funny. And it's about an hour long. I think maybe 49 minutes and change or something. And it was Ricky Gervais, Jerry Seinfeld, Louis C.K., and Chris Rock just sitting and talking about comedy.
Mm, I think I've heard of it, yeah.
It was really cool. Mm. It also constantly begged the question, why is Ricky Gervais there? Until the very end, where the first thing in the credits you saw was that Ricky Gervais was the executive producer. Mm. And we're like, oh. But I would highly recommend that, if for no other reason than to watch Louis C.K. do both a Chris Rock impression and a Jerry Seinfeld impression. Warning does contain language that would not be appropriate for younger viewers. Viewer discretion is advised. Also, they wouldn't care. They'd probably get really bored. But I loved it. I love anything talking about the craft of comedy, and they really get into it, and that's pretty cool.
Cool.
And then, after that, we watched, I say watched, we listened. It's a podcast that somebody posted on YouTube with just a still photo. So we just listened to it. But it was an episode of WTF, which is a podcast done by Mark Maron. I don't know if you're familiar with his name or the name of the podcast.
No.
Mark Maron is a stand-up comedian. And he does an interview podcast that is very popular called WTF. It is kind of becoming known, A, for its popularity, but also people tend to really open up on there. Like, celebrities have come out on his podcast, not intending at the beginning to do that, but just the conversation gets so open and vulnerable that they do that. And so a lot of stuff often comes out there. And back in 2010, he interviewed Robin Williams. And it was a pretty impressive episode. And so when Robin Williams died, he reposted that. He talks a little at the beginning and a little bit at the end, but then he just reposts the episode. And it was quite an impressive episode. And it sparked a very interesting conversation between my wife and I afterwards for about a half hour about a variety of topics. So in general, it was way more of like a cerebral and intellectual date night than usual, but I think we still really enjoyed it, and I would recommend both of those to anybody. It really gave me new insight into Robin Williams. It also has some really funny bits in it. It has some weird foreshadowing in a way. It's a very interesting perspective. Yeah, it was just very good.
Cool.
So I recommend that. I also saw a really crap movie last weekend in the middle of the night. Horror movie called The Damned. And it was bad. It was a possession horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those, it's becoming kind of a thing where the first shot is the last shot of the movie, and then you sort of see how we got there kind of thing.
Yeah.
About 20 minutes in, I got what the twist of the movie was going to be. And about 25 minutes in, I got exactly how we ended up at that last scene. And I was not wrong. And it had actors playing, it had one actress playing an 18-year-old and then another guy playing her supposedly 36-year-old father at one point, and they were way closer in age, the actors. Like, that didn't, it was weird. I'm like, they are not father and daughter, that's not right. So that was odd. So yeah, it wasn't very good. So also one boob. Whole horror movie, one boob. That's a waste.
Okay.
I don't really know, not for you, but
I don't know the rules, I guess.
There are people listening that understand. In a horror movie, one of the perks, no pun intended, you get some boobs. And we got one boob in the whole damn movie. Just whatever. So don't see that. Don't see the damn.
I won't. All right. Thanks for the warning.
Actually gamed this week.
Oh yeah, how'd that go?
We didn't do a lot. We hadn't seen each other in a while, so it was a lot of catch up. And we sort of just laid out. They're about to go on a mission, basically, escorting someone. Like, they're going to provide security for someone. And so we basically discussed all the stuff they were doing to set up for that. And as luck would have it, we can't game the next 2 weeks. And so what I've suggested is that we don't game the third one either on our normal day. And instead, around New Year's, when we have like 4 days off, we take one of those days and we spend like 6-7 hours and just do a solid session.
That sounds like fun.
So I think we're going to do that on probably January 3rd.
Cool.
Had a really good lunch today, as I've said before.
Mm-hmm. You did say that.
I did. Mexican food. Bandidos. It's very good. Yeah, I think that's all I got.
Okay.
You got nothing?
Not really. I mean, we're still watching Wonder Woman, but...
Wonder Woman. And how can you still know, be... There's not that many episodes.
I could say... Well, there's... Yeah, there's like, you know, 66 around.
Are there really? Was it 3 full seasons? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I think there's a lot I could say about it, but I haven't finished watching them all, and I think I want to finish before I speak at length. And you're
really
not interested
happy.
Anyway, so...
I'm totally interested in Wonder Woman. You're right, I'm not interested in what you have to say about Wonder Woman.
Right.
I'm still totally digging Constantine. Loving that.
That's good.
and being happier with the season of Elementary than I was first expecting. I mean, I love that show, but they did some stuff at the beginning of the season that I was like, and now I'm getting more comfortable. Well, I've talked about this many times. Elementary, I watch it for the characters and the relationships, because they have dynamic characters and dynamic relationships. And that's rare, and it's especially rare in a Murder of the Week show. And they keep fooling me. I keep being like, oh, this is a stupid thing they put up here. Why is that like that? That's dumb. And then they do something with it, and I'm like, oh. They pull in stupid characters, and I'm like, why is that character here? Oh, so that character can do this and cause this. Or they have a premise, and I'm like, that's a dumb premise. Why is that? Oh, so that they can deal with this thing, which relates. And like, yeah. They fool me every time. You play any games?
Well, you know, when the other adult in the house started playing Darksiders, she stopped playing Batman Arkham Origins.
Okay.
So she picked up playing that again.
All right.
Which...
So you guys beat Darksiders.
Yeah. She, It's kind of a strange thing, that game, because on some level, if you like Arkham City, there's not really any reason you shouldn't like this game.
Okay.
Unless
you waited. You miss the word bitch.
What?
Apparently the Arkham City game has the word bitch so much.
Oh, yeah, it does. Unless you waited for a couple years for this game to come out and you thought it was going to be something really different. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Not more of the same.
Yeah, it's very much more of the same. I mean,
which plot, is weird because it's a different company.
Character, yeah. But again, for us, you know, we didn't sit waiting anticipating this really cool thing, and it turned out just to be the same old thing. We just got done playing a game that we thought was pretty cool, and now we're playing a game that's pretty much just like it. So, yeah, that's neat. And not only that, but the city is cleaner and nicer looking. This is the beginning of his career, so that's kind of fun. And it's Christmas. So there's Christmas music and there's Christmas trees, and you put it all together, and it's actually kind of cool. But it admittedly plays like kind of a prequel DLC to Arkham City, honestly. Which, again, we think that's fine, but if we were waiting for like this full-blown new game experience, we probably would complain about it just like everybody else did.
Jingle bells. Batman smells. Seriously, why is my... People, let me know. We want your input, and mostly I don't want to listen to this episode. How are our voice levels? Because the little pictures make it look like my voice is not nearly as loud as his, but I'm like right up on the mic. Like, I can taste this mic. So what is that about?
I don't know.
I beat Fable 3.
Oh, okay.
Super anticlimactic ending.
Wow. Well.
Like, the second part of the game is essentially a countdown to, like, when the big bad will show up. And the big bad shows up, and it's a fight, and it's over. It's not even that exciting of a fight. But it's one of those games that doesn't end. Like, I'm still playing now, and there's side missions. And there's new missions they create that, like, happened after you beat it and stuff. And mostly... The next I'm going to play is Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag, but I can't get my hands on it till Christmas. So my plan is to just basically dink around with Fable 3
until Christmas. Diablo 3, I thought you and the producer were playing that.
We are some. Oh. We've gone through three acts. Mm-hmm. We're in Act 4 out of 5. For the last act of the original game, but we also have the expansion, which is another act. It gets old.
Oh, okay.
It's the same. Like, they change the look of the monsters in each level, and they change the floor tile, but it's sort of the same crap over and over.
That's
so
true.
We haven't stopped, but we just don't bother a lot.
Yeah, I see.
And my solo game, I'm really not bothering on that. But and I'm more interested in Fable. There's still shit I want to do in Fable. But yeah, mostly I just probably won't play a lot of that stuff till after Christmas, and then I'll play Black Flag. Everybody's loving Dragon Age Inquisition.
Well, I hope we do.
Everybody's loving that game. I'm waiting until I get a next-gen console for it, but...
Why? I mean, what present-gen consoles is it playing on? You can't get it for PS3.
I thought you could.
I don't think so.
I thought it came out for 360 and PS3 also. I might be wrong.
I don't think it came out for PS3. So we're hoping, you know, before the holiday season's over, we'll have an opportunity to get a new console or a new game.
Ooh. Yeah, I don't know when I'll do it. We're planning on our travel for 2015. It's probably going to involve a cruise again, finally.
Well, you really enjoyed the last one.
Oh, yes. I'm very excited. Very excited. Okay, that's all I got. Should we take out the hat?
Yep.
People, you should write the hat. The hat is our connection to you. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. We need your input. Okay, maybe we don't, but we want your input. Give us your input. Also, go to the blog. I've been feeling like I want to know more from our listeners about what they want. In our podcast. I'm not sure that I want to know so that I can do something about it. I'm just academically curious. But I am. So let us know. Talk to us. Email the hat. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Talk to Jazz and William. Because I'm tired of watching them talk to each other. So get in the way. Won't you? Hat feeling kind of light.
Is it?
Ooh. A little bit.
Oh, this is from the producer.
Ooh, you mean Nathan Lane in that movie?
No, I mean the producer of
Matthew
the show.
Broderick.
It starts, Gentlemen.
Well, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I don't. Is someone else supposed to read this?
Are you sure that's an opening, or is that just the first?
It's like
word of a sentence. Like, no, gentlemen always.
It's a greeting.
Carry Ferrero Rocher in their trench coat pocket.
No, it's like referring to the person
for strangers.
Or people who would be reading the card.
Let's assume she's being ironic.
Okay.
Is it in quotes? That would.
No, it isn't.
Okay, I'm still going to assume irony.
All right.
All right. Yes. Yes. We're gentlemen. What?
You must fight to the death.
That explains
it. As gentlemen
are
wont to do.
Yes.
Do you choose 5 8-year-olds or 5 80-year-old war veterans as your opponent?
Oh,
not as
your weapons.
I thought you and I were fighting.
See, no, because I love this idea where, like, you and I are fighting to the death, and I am armed
with 5 8-year-olds
and you're armed with old guys.
80-year-olds.
And we just throw them at each other.
The 80-year-olds are war veterans, though.
Yes.
You gotta make sure you get that part.
My father just turned 80.
Okay, so as your opponent.
Yes.
See, the thing about this is, presumably, I mean,
I know you're just going to fall on your sword. I get that.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, so let me...
Because the odds are pretty good. I mean, I realize I'm no fighter, but I could probably take 5 8-year-olds
well,
and 5 80-year-olds.
Let's back up.
If I really wanted to.
Let's back up. I'm going to Williamize this. All right.
Hey, no, you need to answer the question.
We'll get there. But right. I'm going to Williamize this.
Okay.
So you're not fighting 8-year-olds or 80-year-olds. You are fighting elaborate, simulated androids that match exactly to the capabilities of either 5 8-year-olds or 5 8-year-olds. It doesn't matter, though, because if you die, you die. So you have to, like, you're going to die, and the androids are going to get decommissioned anyway. But there's nobody else's life on the line. It's just your life.
I'm trying to tell you. I don't.
You're
think
like
I would
fuck
win.
It, kill me, androids.
No, I would.
Yo, you mean either way you'd win?
I'm pretty sure.
Wow, wow! I was not expecting this from you.
Why? You think I'd pick the kids or something?
No, I didn't think you'd be that confident in a fight.
Really?
Be like, I could totally tell. Yeah, because I am super not. I feel like all of these might kill me.
I don't think so.
I feel like it's possible. Okay, here's the deal. Unquestionably, I go after the kids. And I'll tell you why. There's a couple of reasons. Kids are stupid. Like, all 8-year-olds are stupid.
You will very likely outsmart them, yes.
80-year-olds might be. Like, they might have lost enough of their mind, but might not be. They might be really fucking smart. And they've been in the war. They've seen things. They've done things. They know how to kill you four ways with a necktie.
Okay, that's all fine.
8-year-olds just know how to cry. Like, I've probably beat up 5 8-year-olds on the way home from work.
Okay, first of all, 8-year-olds, you know, we are talking about, what, second graders? They're more resourceful.
Third graders.
And smarter than you think.
Well, but there is the hive mind thing. There's 5 of them. I could take in, if they were attacking me one at a time, like ninjas in a bad movie, not a problem. Like, I have a niece, she's 9, I could take her out in a second. I could make her cry to death. But if she's got 4 friends.
The thing about the war veterans, though.
You know, do the kids turn into Power Rangers or some in Captain Planet or anything?
I'm pretty sure you're supposed to assume.
Do the war veterans form like one larger war veteran?
Like the average 8-year-old and the average 80-year-old war veteran.
All right.
And I'm pretty sure these days, the average 80-year-old is
dead?
No, it's just...
I think the average lifespan is like 78 point something.
It's not really going to matter how smart they are, what they've seen, or what they know. They have to be able to do it. And here's the thing. Even I, you know, could probably outrun most 80-year-olds.
This is a point. If you're playing the long game...
Yes, which you would do if they proved to be really resourceful.
If you're playing the long game, you don't want to go up against the kids because kids never tire out.
That's right.
That is a good point. So either you have to kill some 8-year-olds fast or you have to just exhaust 80-year-olds to death.
The thing about the 8-year-olds fast bit is you can pretty much deal with one 8-year-old while the other 4 are doing stuff. Here's the thing.
Well, no, I think there's an assumption that they're planning to kill you. You don't just walk into a daycare and see if you can kill 5 8-year-olds before they have a chance to assemble.
No, I know they're trying to kill you. I get that part.
Well, what's the other stuff they're doing?
Here's the thing. That's going to apply to you and me in the way it doesn't apply to a lot of people dealing with this question.
All right. Because when it comes to killing children and old people, William and I have some specific eccentricities.
Advantages, actually.
Ooh.
And it's
should I feel bad about that? No. I feel a little bad.
It's our height.
Ooh.
Okay.
All right.
So,
Stop bayonetting yourself.
If there were... Is that from something?
No, I just invented that. I mean, there's stop hitting yourself. But I assume the 80-year-olds have bayonets.
Why would you assume that?
I assume all war veterans fight with bayonets.
Oh, the 80s.
I don't assume that soldiers do.
I thought you said 8-year-olds.
I always assume that veterans do.
Here's the thing.
Stop bayoneting yourself. I love that. We just hold them by the forehead and stab them?
I am assuming that this is hand-to-hand combat and no weapons are involved, because otherwise what's the point?
Yeah, I assumed it was mortars over a space of about 2 miles.
Because otherwise, what's the point?
So who's better aim?
So think about this for a second.
All right. Generally speaking, in scenarios where you kill children or old people, it's presumed you're in one of those blacktop chain link basketball courts.
Sure, sure.
No. This has come up before.
Listen.
Okay. We're there. And no weapons.
Think about if you were, say, out in your front yard, and there were a bunch of 8-year-olds just being playful. Okay,
yes.
But they were jumping all over you. What? You see what I'm saying? They're only going to get up to not even past your waist, probably. And even if one jumped on your back, what could they do?
Well, am I wearing a cup?
let's assume so, if that's eight so important to you.
8 years old are smart enough to know to go for the genitals.
I'm saying, if you've ever been in a situation where a lot of kids, like 8 year olds and about that age or even younger, are crawling all over you, you can, when you're a big person like we are, you can pretty much still do whatever you want. You can walk around. You can pay attention.
I have not
found
that to be true.
You can pay attention to just one kid. I mean, there's just not a lot. And that's what entertains them, is they're doing all this stuff and you're just giant that won't even
feel it. We used to play a game like
it.
That. You are right. How does that apply to 80-year-olds? What if you're in your yard and playful 80-year-olds
well,
are jumping all
the 80-year-old is a whole different thing.
I know.
You, like you said, you have to, it's got to be sort of the long game on that one.
Mm-hmm.
See, with the kids, you can basically stand in one place and not exert very much of your energy and just take care of business in, like, you know,
and
10
I feel
minutes
like,
or so.
Like, but also, you could ask the veterans their opinion on the New Deal. And that would distract
them. But the 80-year-olds, you're
going to... Ask them how much candy bars cost when they were a kid.
You're probably going to want to use some tactics, get them alone, pick them off one at a time. But you don't have to worry about that with the 8-year-olds.
This is a whole new side of you.
What do you mean?
I mean, the degree to which you've thought this through...
I haven't thought it through. I'm just giving you the obvious information based on... With the kids in particular, how much bigger we are than them.
The almost
how easy it is to deal with that because of our size.
Sociopathic approach you take to this issue. I have had you full on claim you couldn't answer questions that were way simpler than this. And you... I feel like this has come up before in your life. I feel like there's been a time.
No.
I'm not saying you did it.
You.
But when you thought
no.
you might have to kill 5 8-year-olds.
What did you say earlier? You said, I'm going to Williamize this. And you turned it. You.
And you said it wouldn't make a difference.
It doesn't make a difference.
Because you're not a punk. You'll just kill a kid.
No.
Straight up.
It doesn't make a difference because.
You will straight up murder a child.
if you say these are.
Or
just,
an old man.
These are just. Like you said, androids that have the same abilities, it's going to be the same one way or
no,
the other.
No, because I, the reason I said Williamize is I assumed there was going to be some ethical considerations here.
Sure.
I assumed that even in a fight to the death, you would refuse to fight. So I was attempting to do it in which no murder on your part need take place.
That's right. That's what you did. And so now I'm telling you what happened.
I know, but even before I got to that point, you were just killing children.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah,
what
you
are
were.
About?
You already. You said it makes no difference.
No, I
so
said.
So even when it's
no,
actual children.
No, you said.
That are crying for their moms. You just poke their eyes out.
No.
You and kill them.
You gave the example, and I said, well, in that case, it makes no difference. Because it doesn't. You can.
Okay, but so before then, what. Was it before I Williamized it?
Well, it's kind of like you said. It's like I, there's no
so
way
either
I
way it
that.
Makes no difference, but for different reasons.
Yes.
In one
right.
version, you just let yourself be killed. In the other version, you just killed children and old people willy nilly in some sort of fiendish
well,
bloodlust.
The simulated ones, apparently.
Yeah.
As
but,
you put it.
But then afterwards, we tell you it was just a trick. We fucking Ender's Game you. We're like no. Those were real old people. Those old people over on the other side of the chain link fence that are like cheering on their counterparts, those are the androids. We put the real ones in. Also, you're under arrest.
So, yeah.
We didn't officially sanction this.
So, what would you do? You'd pick the old guys. Is that what you were saying before?
No.
Because
well, originally I was totally picking the children.
Oh, yeah.
But you've got me one. See, I'm not a good long game either. I mean...
Well, it doesn't have to be that long. You don't have to run very fast or very far
I know,
away.
But here's what I'm saying. I'm fully aware that we're comparing my endurance to the endurance of an 80-year-old. And I'm saying... I'm not 100% confident on that.
Right, but...
Let alone given 5 opportunities
right,
to be upshown.
But the bones break really easy. I mean, all you have to do is...
Seriously, you are creeping me the fuck out.
What? What is wrong with you?
Their bones break real easily.
Yeah, just you can get them on the ground, and then just, you can ignore that guy and move on to the next guy.
You just gotta threaten their families.
And then when they're all incapacitated, then you can take all the time you want.
Any second you're going to be like, and that's the Chicago way. Their bones break real easily.
It's the truth.
I'm not debating the veracity. I'm debating the humanity. I'm scared now.
But I'm kind of surprised that you're
surprised.
I still
feel like I'm going after the kids.
Because, of course, I know that an 80-year-old's bones break easily, because that's why I'm careful around them. And, you know, if I'm going to...
I was wondering
across the street.
Why you were careful.
Be very careful.
Do you have a story behind this?
No, I just know that
10 years
happens.
Ago, did you try and help an 80-year-old across the street and accidentally rip his arm off?
A person, an older person, not even in their 80s, but in their 70s, falling down and like actually breaking their bones because they had a spill.
It's always their hip.
If they'd had it 30 years earlier, it wouldn't have happened.
It's always their hip.
It's very often is their hip, yes. So you have to be very careful.
Life alert. What about that? Do the 80-year-olds have life alert? Can they essentially call for reinforcements? I feel like that's not fair.
No, I
with the 8-year-olds, we scatter Legos on them.
This is definitely a Thunderdome kind of situation.
9 men enter. 1 man leaves. Guess which one?
So...
One man and 8 children, or 5 children, enter. It was only five guys. 6 men enter, 1 man leaves. One man and 5 children enter, 1 man leaves. That's the shittiest Thunderdome ever.
My earlier point
no
is...
No suspense.
A compassionate person who cares about other people is naturally going to know all of their weaknesses, because those are the things they're going to want to be careful not to, you know... take advantage of.
I feel like this is the plot twist that happens halfway through episode 7 of Star Wars.
Which means a nice person is going to know all the weaknesses and also know how to exploit them. They're just not going to do it. So you shouldn't be shocked that a nice person knows all of this stuff about
these people and
how they
can
be hurt or killed.
Half of every comic book plot since 1975... has been exactly what you're talking about. Nice people who are aware of this stuff who eventually snap and do it.
Well, that's kind of how it works.
I know, but now I really feel like you're going to just snap and go vigilante one of these days.
Why would I do that?
I don't know yet. Something will happen. If it's anything like the comic books, something terrible will happen to a woman you care about just to motivate you into...
She'll be stuffed in the refrigerator.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was not going... You're very dark tonight. You're very focused on... Yeah.
I am not.
I feel weird.
This question is what it is.
I know, but I feel weird when I'm the circumspect one.
And you're right. Odd. I kind of needed a little mental trick to get me in the space where I could talk about it, and you provided that, so here I am.
And I'm terrified.
I thought
now.
You would be okay with it.
I didn't. It worked better than I thought it would. And now I'm scared. Guys, if you don't hear next week's episode, William did it.
Do you think that a lot of people don't realize that the nicest people are also the ones who know everything that needs to be known to be the worst people? Because that's the truth.
I didn't know that till right now.
Because... If you think nice people are nice because they just don't know better, or because they don't know all the ways to hurt people, you're mistaken. They're nice because they do know all those things, and they're moved with compassion about that, and they want to be nice. If the nicest people you know probably have all the knowledge and all of the stuff to be the most evil people you know, they just choose not to be.
You have, on many occasions, gone on like 20-30 minute diatribes about things about what is so wrong with the world, and yet what you just said is probably the most depressing thing I've ever heard you say.
Well, why is that depressing? Wow. It should be, because if you're of the opinion that nice people are just stupid people, Well, that's a very cynical and depressing way to look at the world. When you realize that nice people could be not nice, but they choose this, that's a positive thing. That means
yes,
there's good people out there
nice people
that you can be encouraged that they're out there.
What about nice people who also opt to not gain this knowledge?
What do you mean?
On how to kill you with two fingers or whatever. No. You're saying that nice people know all of your ways to ruin your life.
Well,
I'm like, what
not
if they
to kill
don't
you with
do it?
Two fingers. Like,
I don't know what you nice people do.
For example, okay.
I've never really understood nice people.
Yeah, well, you're a nice person. You don't want to say you are. You do.
I realized recently, like, I'm evil, but I'm like the villain in a young adult novel evil. So I'm mostly misunderstood, and I'll probably be better at the end, and I'm secretly in love with the protagonists, you know, all that kind of thing. You know, fake evil, like you get in most of those.
Yeah, because that's cool to be that way.
Exactly.
Because it's not cool to be nice.
No.
Well, nice people are kind of misunderstood, too. Just like bad people are supposedly misunderstood.
But they're still not cool.
No, I suppose not.
All right. Let's do another question. Because you're freaking me out.
You underestimate nice people, I see.
I could kill you with my mind.
I doubt it.
Oh, holy shit! We're not having another question.
Why?
Because I got something to talk about. Mm-hmm. Okay. I had something to happen this week.
All right.
And I don't know why I didn't bring it up before, because holy shit. Friday night. Friday during the day. I think I mentioned this before. Pete Holmes, the comedian,
yeah,
performed at the IMU.
Okay,
we had tickets. It was cheap. They were cheap. They were like $11.50, but it was starting at 10 o'clock at night. And I'm old. I'm like, I don't want to fight for space with drunk college students at 10 o'clock at night, even on a Friday. So I was like, I was hoping Trish would be like, I don't really want to go. I was like, we don't have to go, but she didn't do that. In fact, at one point I even told her that, and she's like, I heard a rumor that he gives out free hugs at his show, so we're totally going. And I was like, God damn it. But I'm going, you know. So glad I went.
Okay.
Was good. Awesome.
Good. Did you get your free what? Free what?
Hug.
Oh, did you get your free hug?
Oh, it gets better. Better I did. Than a free hug? I did. He did hug me, and that's the thing. He hugged me.
Yeah.
There were lots of hugs going on, but most of them, other people hugged him. He hugged me. And do you know why he hugged me?
No.
I heckled him.
You heckled him?
I heckled him.
Why did you do that?
Because I thought it was funny. And he loved it. His exact words were, that was my favorite, I'm not even going to call that a heckle, participation that I've ever experienced.
Wow.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
We were in the front row. Was awesome.
Okay, well, are you going to tell us about this great thing?
Do you want to know about this great thing?
Does it matter if I want to know it? I'm sure.
No, but I like to pretend.
I'm sure our listeners want to
know.
For
form's sake. So.
Yes, I do want to know.
Yes. Now, he was talking about the fact that he was straight. This was a thing in his last album, too, talking about how he was straight, but how he's totally gay for Ryan Gosling. But anyway. And this one he's talking about, he's straight. He says, but I'm 28 days straight. And we all got a little quiet because we're not sure what that meant. And he finally said, that doesn't mean that I've just spent under a month since I was last with a man. Which was what I was thinking. I was like, is this like an Alcoholics Anonymous thing? 28 days straight. He said, what it means is if I crash and I'm stranded on a deserted island with, oh, let's say, Ryan Gosling, it's 28 days before we finally do stuff. And I immediately yelled out, you wouldn't last a week.
You said that, huh?
I did.
Jesus, what's your problem?
She's not getting pet enough or in exactly the right way.
Why don't you
say
that?
Ezzy's busy molesting William at the moment. And his microphone. See, she gets squirrely when she doesn't eat.
She is squirrely. I've never seen her like this
it
before.
It gets worse.
I've been over here a lot of times.
So yeah, I was up. And then afterwards, we waited in line to have our picture taken with him.
Oh.
And he hugged me, and Trish hugged him. And we have a lovely picture. And he was very nice.
That sounds like a nice guy.
He was also really fascinated by the come and go.
Okay.
Because we live in a part of country there. There's a chain of convenience stores called Come and Go. Spelled K-U-M and Go. And I forget sometimes the rest of the country doesn't have it. And we have all sorts of jokes. I know you would never debase yourself and participate, but you're familiar.
Yep.
With the jokes.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. He's not, because he's not from here.
Oh.
So he found it amazing and did a whole bit about it.
Okay.
Which was especially hilarious because on the one hand, like, it's old stuff, but it's like it's new to him. And he doesn't even realize he's going through a lot of jokes that we've already done.
That a lot of people have heard exactly, since they were in junior
exactly,
high.
But to him, they're totally fresh. All right, now we can do a question. But yeah, I can't believe I buried the lead on that one. I totally forgot to talk about that.
What are you doing, cat? Strange behavior. Never seen her do this before.
This is from Dave of Id.
Oh. I hope he's still listening.
Me too. He might not, because he keeps trying to get me to do stuff and I keep not doing it, so he might be mad at me. He doesn't understand that I don't do things. Excuse me. I hope you're all still there. My goddamn cat just walked across the keyboard, jumped on the keyboard, really. Seriously, I will end you.
I've really never seen her like this before.
That's because you haven't seen her go this long without eating. Hmm. It gets worse.
Maybe she needs
food
to hunt or something, or to engage in hunt.
She's not a good hunter.
Well, but you know,
she's a good spotter. She lets Twiglet know where the mouse is, but she can't seem to catch it. But Twiglet's gone deaf, so he doesn't always notice. Anyway, Dave, sorry, I apologize for not getting this down here. What would the title of a documentary about your lives be titled, and why? Who would direct, and why? Dave of Id. So we have to share a documentary?
Oh,
is a documentary about our lives?
I don't know.
Because I feel like it would be called The Magical Talking Hat.
Probably.
Or possibly Inquire with it.
Our life together, yeah. I
guess,
know.
Yeah.
But separately, what would it? I'm sure he wants to know separately.
Well, I'm pretty sure mine would just be I don't like doing things. The Tony Parsons story.
2 hours showing you not doing anything.
Directed by Werner Herzog. I feel like only he could capture. If I was feeling ambitious, which I never am, maybe Baz Luhrmann. Baz Luhrmann could do a good version of me, and I don't know what the gimmick would be, because he always has a thing. You know, singing, dancing, poetry, something. I don't know what his thing was for Australia. I never saw it, but I don't know what his thing would be. Hopefully me not wearing pants. But no, probably Werner Herzog. It's called I Don't Like Doing Things. What about you?
I have no idea.
That's the title. Who would direct it?
No, I thought the title of my documentary would be And Then Gives Up.
And Then Gives Up. That might be good. That might be good.
And Then Gives Up.
Well, Kubrick's dead, so we can't have that.
I really don't know.
Cronenberg's still around? Maybe Cronenberg.
I really don't know.
David Lynch. David Lynch, that would be awesome.
Ken Burns would direct.
Oh my God. Oh my fucking God, you nailed it.
With
And Then Lux. Gives Up, the William Wright story. But sorry, we're doing this wrong. Ken Burns presents And Then Gives Up. Which we don't even put the colon in there, so it just looks like Ken Burns presents and then gives up. The William Wright story. awesome.
Yeah, there'd be, you know, panning over old photographs and talking to experts and
yes,
maybe a few people.
Alternatively, if we wait a few years for when William snaps and kills 5 8-year-olds, Christopher Nolan could do a good job directing it.
I'm not going to snap.
That's what people who snap say.
No, they don't. Actually, they don't say that.
How many people do you hang out with who snap? How many 8-year-olds have you seen murdered in person?
None, thank goodness. Oh, what a horrible thing that would be.
But yeah, now suddenly you're like, oh, we were killing old people and stuff earlier, and now suddenly you're like, oh, it's sad.
That would be horrible.
I don't know, I haven't seen it. I don't anticipate. I mean, if it's anything like when I had to kill the mouse with my bare hands, that sucked. I assume an 8-year-old would be just, like, bigger. That would suck.
No,
I don't really know.
You know, when I'm watching a documentary or a news,
that's why I don't watch those.
Cast, and they, you know, they want to show like dead bodies and stuff. I don't want to see that.
That always annoys me, and they show it over and over and over again.
Yeah, I can't.
Like, what is the point? What are we getting out of that?
I can't deal with that.
Who would Ken Burns? I really think
that's a little obvious, though, don't you think?
It is a little on the nose. Well, who would you pick? So you can pick.
I have no idea.
Who do you think would do best? Who's your favorite documentary director? Let's go there.
Well, that's just it. I watch a lot of documentaries, as you know, but I don't often pay attention to who directed them, which is weird because that is something I would normally pay attention to.
You know, actually, and he's not a documentary director, but I think I know who would do a good job with you. Spike Jonze. What? I think that would be good.
Okay.
I don't mean like the musician Spike Jonze. I mean the director.
Here's the thing about a documentary about my life.
Yes.
You're going to have to find a director who is going to embellish it a lot. Otherwise, it's just not going to be worth anyone watching.
Spike Lee?
I don't know.
Zack Snyder?
Michael Moore. There's a guy, he can add some spice to
that
it.
That is true.
State things that in a way that's just true. A little bit not right, so people will think that...
No, but wait, I like this Zack Snyder idea here. We have a lot more slow motion fight scenes. Well, screw it. We could just go to J.J. Abrams.
Michael Bay.
And we'll just... Oh, my God. See, I was going to go with, we set up all these amazing questions about your life and then answer none of them. I guess that means Damon Lindelof has to direct, but hey. Michael Bay. Can you imagine a Michael Bay documentary? Like, what even is that? It would have to be a documentary about explosions.
And poorly filmed fight sequences. You know, I was watching a YouTube video this week about that because... seems like this happens a lot lately, but maybe it's gone on for a long time, where they show fight sequences and there's a lot, the camera's moving around a lot and they cut away from it, and you're watching it and you're asking yourself, especially like in the Batman movie, like in Nolan's Batman movies even, you're asking yourself, why can I not see this fight sequence? Why do we not have a nice wide shot so I can see how great Batman is at beating people up? And of course the answer is, because... whoever's doing it isn't doing a very good job of it. It's easier to cut it together in these little pieces.
Yes. You're absolutely right. This is a thing I've noticed for a long time. I feel like I don't feel like it's always been this way. I think especially if you go back to the heyday of the action movies in like the 80s, you didn't have it. Now there you had some shitty choreography, but they at least showed it.
Oh yeah, and chase scenes too.
Yeah.
Back in the day, chase scenes were awesome.
Yeah, and nowadays it's lots of quick cuts and camera swipes and stuff.
So you don't even know what's going on.
But here's where I feel like it happened. After The Matrix. The Matrix had good fight scenes. I feel like The Matrix had good fight scenes and they had innovative camera work so that they were especially good. And I feel like everybody else was like, shit. And so this was their shortcut to try and seem cool. I don't know. In my mind, it basically happened right after the Matrix films.
Well, I watched this YouTube video.
Really annoying. It's not always... Bruckheimer... It's the only thing he does. Bruckheimer doesn't pull that shit. Back to the Pirates of the Caribbean movies and stuff, the fight scenes in
they're all right. But I was watching this video, I think the Bourne trilogy had the same thing. Jackie Chan was talking about it.
Oh.
And about how, you know, about how in his movies, he was talking about how when he makes movies overseas, they let him take as much time as he needs. Because, you know, for his sequences to get shot, the way he shoots them with wide angles so you can see everything that's going on.
You got to start back at one every time there's a mistake.
Tons of takes.
Yeah.
And he says, when I go to the United States, they, you know, they don't want to do that. So
we'll fix it in post.
That's right. We'll fix it in post. And that means cutting it in a whole bunch of stupid ways so it doesn't make any sense. And he also pointed out something I didn't know. I mean, all up until this point, I've noticed all that. But I didn't know this. He said when you're editing a fight scene and you've got a guy's going to throw a punch.
Yeah.
And you've got the wide angle of him throwing the punch. And then you're going to show the punch hitting in a tighter angle.
Yeah.
When you cut it together, the second shot, you know how when you're shooting and you're editing together and for continuity, you'll take that second shot. When you cut it in, you'll make it, you'll time it so that the fist of the guy is exactly where it was in the previous shot.
Yes, you want the timing to see the same. You want it to seem like you moved, but it was all happening at one take.
He says, "What you do in that what you're really supposed to do in that second shot is start it a little bit behind."
Why?
Well, I thought, boy, that's really weird. But then they showed it. You can't tell, but it makes it better because it's really weird. They showed the first shot and then the second shot. And, you know, like I've made a few films and done some editing. So it looked to me like that's not going to make any sense when you cut them together. But then it showed them together. And not only did it work perfectly, but it made the hit seem harder and more real. Because in the actual shot, one of the reasons why you cut to a closer shot like that is because these are fake hits. You know, they're pulling their punches. So,
and in the wide angle, you'd see that.
Yeah. In the close angle, you'll see it too. But if you edit it right, by putting that extra frame in there that's not quite right from a continuity perspective, but when you edit together, you don't even notice, it makes it look like a harder hit. And I thought, wow, that is amazing. How did they ever figure that out? But they showed it. And it was right.
As I get older, I'm more and more fascinated with editing. And that's the thing, actually. I told you I watched this Talking Funny thing last night. It's an hour of these four comedians talking about comedy. There is no set agenda.
Yeah.
And they are constantly interrupting and talking over each other.
Yeah.
And it's also, it's several angles. Like, it's not a steady shot either.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot imagine. And during references, it's very clear that there are bits of the conversation that got edited out.
Sure.
I cannot imagine what a nightmare that must have been to edit.
Well, yeah.
How do you decide what goes and what stays? Because there's no narrative.
Yeah.
And how do you pick the angle? And how do you decide the order? Like, if there's no conversational cue to an earlier part, does it go after? Like, do you stick chronologically or do you mix it up? Or who knows?
Well, it depends on if you can.
Because the whole thing felt like we were coming in the middle.
Sure, but you probably had a lot of shots peppered in of people responding to something someone was saying, not just a shot of the person saying it.
I don't know. Maybe.
Because that's a way you can sort of fudge it.
Because
the shot of the person responding might not be...
It doesn't have to match up.
Yeah.
Well, they do it a lot on...
And then you can slip in some editing tricks there.
Like funny video shows or whatever, they'll do that. Cut shot, and somebody laughed, and they weren't necessarily laughing then. And they do it at comedy concerts
too. That's right.
That one guy laughed a lot at that joke. Well, we'll use it over here because we need help on this joke because nobody laughed at this joke. but as I get older, I'm way more interested about editing, film editing.
Well, the thing about editing is... In so many ways, that's where the story's told. I mean, if you do everything right up to the editing point and you edit it poorly, it's all messed up. It's it's totally bad.
And it's one of the main reasons why I hear this a lot. When you see actors that you're like, this guy is awesome, what is he doing in this shitty movie? I have learned, often, when you're an actor, you have no idea if the movie's going to be good or shitty when you start.
No.
And editing is one of the critical parts to that.
Editing can make, it can make a crappy movie good, and it can make a good movie bad. Editing is really, I mean, well, Star Wars is a perfect example that, you know, you hear this all the time that, you know, Lucas wasn't satisfied with the first people who edited it because it just didn't come out right. And when you watch Star Wars, if you know anything about filmmaking and editing, you know this film was totally made by editing. The writing is crap. The acting is, I mean, they're trying really hard to act to this bad writing.
Yeah.
The editing, the sound design, I mean, all of that stuff totally made this movie.
The technical crew is the is the point. It's
now,
not good art, it's good technique.
But when you're doing principal photography, as you have experienced yourself, you don't know. You don't know what it looks like through the camera.
No.
You don't know how they're going to edit two pieces together. All you can do is follow
that movie I did for you came out horribly, and at the time it felt really exciting.
All you can do is trust what the director's telling you to do. And so, yes, when I see a good actor in a terrible movie, I know that scene for scene, you know, he was just doing his job. He probably thought, okay, this seems really strange and weird, they're going to cut this together and it'll look great.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's probably been in films where that's been true.
And there are other reasons, too, why good actors show up in bad movies, but that's a critical one.
Right. But they could, there's no way for them to know, especially if they've been in movies. Like if you've worked with George Lucas and you had to act to a green screen and you felt stupid, but then on the screen it looked great. Well, that's what you expect.
Yeah.
So you do this film and then it comes out and you realize the people didn't know what they were doing.
You get weird continuity. The more you use that kind of stuff, you get weird continuity issues. I was reading a thing recently and there's shit like in the Transformers movies where like a giant something falls out of the sky and lands on the ground and the cars on the street don't move. And it's because at the time, there was just a dude holding a stick with a tennis ball on the end saying, react.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the cars don't respond well to direction, you know? So, and just weird shit that nobody ever thought of. But now that we're doing all this CG stuff, it's a thing. We are over time.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I am tired. Get the fuck out of my house. But you guys, I love, because you're not here bugging me. So bug me and him. On the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, tell us about your editing experiences with George Lucas. Also, about how many 5-year-olds you've... No, 8-year-olds you've killed.
Actually, don't tell us about that. Just turn yourself in.
I am curious, though.
No, I'm not.
But I do agree. Turn yourself in.
I don't want to know that.
How many times have you hugged Pete Holmes? Tell us that, too. Write the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Write it now. It's your homework.
Homework? That's cool.
Somebody that came up today, that reminded me of something, but unfortunately it reminded me that I can't remember what the thing is. Whatever. We're over our hour. We're over our 60 words. So, Batman.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.